I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster. And here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where you can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We want to give you a reminder that our Trova trip is coming up in September. We have 13 people who have signed up and 5 spots left. You can sign up at bit.ly/lesdocroatia. The last day to sign up is July 23rd.
We also want to remind everyone that in season 6, we are now releasing bonus episodes for our Patreon supporters every month. You can get those at any level on our Patreon. Our last one came out on Loving Annabelle with our friend Abby Nissenbaum. You are not going to want to miss all of our thoughts about that movie. There were lots of them. And our next one coming out on May 22nd. Our next Lestracurriculars episode is going to be on Ammonite, which we will also have many feelings about. So if you want to catch all of those, you can find them at bit.ly/lespatreon.
We also did an interview with Hannah from Q Interviews that is up on her YouTube channel. You can check that out if you look up on YouTube, Q Interviews Presents Les Hang Out.
In the Greater Les universe, I'm going to tell you all about this, Ellie, because I know you have no idea what this bullet point is. So There's a book. It's called This Is How You Lose the Time War. It came out maybe three and a half years ago. Great book. Very short. If you have not read it yet, it's fantastic. It is queer.
Cool.
Although yes. And also that's like so it's that and more. It's a very interesting book. There's time travel. There's, you know, intrigue and like two sides fighting to like win the future and everything. Anyways, it is a book that came out a long time ago. And then on Twitter this week, a Twitter account by the name Bigolus Dickolus posted about
cool
He's a Trigun fan account, and he posted about This Is How You Lose the Time War, and was like, you have to buy this book. Don't look up anything about it. Just read it. You have to read it. Like, read this book. And it was, you know, it was like one of those, like, designed to just make it on Twitter. It went viral, obviously. But it also went viral a lot with people being like, yeah, absolutely. That is a great book. I loved this book. And This Is How You Lose the Time War started skyrocketing up the Amazon lists, right? To the point where last I saw, it was at number 6 in books on Nice. Amazon. Like, just out of all books on Amazon, it is currently in the 6th spot. A book that came out like almost 4 years ago, right? And so it's just been this very funny thing. It's the book has two authors. One of the authors, she's been posting now like all week, just being like, what is happening right now? Like, what is even going on? Who is Bigalus Dickalus? Like, what is going on? She's like, she posted this thing where she was like, one of the things that's really great is like everybody in the Simon & Schuster like marketing department now knows the name Bigalus Dickalus.
Incredible.
And she's had like, she's been doing like a number of like interviews and stuff now, like talking about the book and also this whole situation evolving on Twitter. So it's just been a very fun week. It's like one of those weeks where you're like, oh, remember when Twitter wasn't just a cesspool that's like trying to bring Tucker Carlson back? But like, it's, you know, it's like bringing back the good memories of Twitter. And so it's just been a blast, but also a good reminder that if you haven't read This Is How You Lose the Time War, it is very queer and very good, and very short, and you should read it and enjoy it and just live this moment in time with all of us. That's all.
Love it. Also, Lee, did you see this other tidbit of news that Diana Agron has been, quote unquote, setting the rumors straight about her and Taylor Swift? And it's
there's,
not.
There's no way. I'm sorry, ma'am. You can never set those rumors straight.
Yeah. I'm like, it's also, it's so, the most hilarious thing to me is it's so inconclusive.
Yes.
Sets rumors straight and she's like, oh yeah, that'd be so crazy, right?
Yeah. Which, like, to be fair, is about a stronger rejection of gay rumors than Diana Agron has managed most of her life, actually. Yeah. So
well, the funny thing is she's like, yeah, there's like so many crazy things. Like, she just like, it's like she's still deflecting.
Yeah.
She's like, there's been so many crazy rumors about me. Like, you'd be surprised how much of it's not true. But maybe one day I'll tell you what's actually true. And you're like, okay, so you're not telling us what's actually true right now, so we are still going to believe that you and Taylor Swift were together. Sorry.
I just feel like the idea that Diana Agron is physically capable of pushing away a gay rumor about her is hilarious.
Well, she's not. That's the thing. Like, she
no, because I feel like Diana Agron comes out like twice a year. I mean, it's like, you know, yes. it's like a high holy day kind of coming out every year. And so I love that. Yeah, the idea that there are headlines being like Diana Agron like rejects gay rumors, and it's just her being like, so funny.
Yeah, like, isn't that hilarious? Like, and she basically is like, I wish I was with Taylor, and you're like,
yeah, okay, yeah, so sounds about right. Sounds about right, warm? Diana. We see you.
Cool. Love it.
Well, that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 106th installment of Should Have Been Gay.
Oh, it was fun, it was great, but it should have been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, tell me more, tell me more, I don't know what to say. Tell me more, cause this movie was gay.
Shoop-bop-bop,
I was getting into it.
Yes, I am so pumped to talk about Grease today. Let's dive in to this wildly iconic and super homoerotic film. Quite homoerotic, to be honest.
This movie is really something. Mm-hmm. So, shall we start with our IMDb synopsis?
Let's go.
Okay, for anyone not familiar with the 1978 classic Grease, here's the synopsis. A good girl, Sandy Olsen, and greaser Danny Zuko fell in love over the summer. When they unexpectedly discover they're now in the same high school, will they be able to rekindle their romance?
No.
Question mark?
I've been waiting to answer that question all day.
So true. So true.
Will they or won't they?
I am dying to know your gay synopsis for this movie, Ellie.
Okay, so here is my gay synopsis. The T-birds are T-boning each other.
off to a great start. Off to a great start.
Yep. And the pink ladies are doing a lot more than singing at their sleepovers. That is my should have been gay synopsis. That's all I'm going to say.
Amazing. I went so much more. I'm like very specific in my thoughts on this movie right now. So my gay synopsis for Grease is as follows. Danny Zuko really embodies all of gay culture by being both a useless lesbian when it comes to talking to girls and a little fruity boy when it comes to playing sports.
Yeah, I mean, Danny has some real queer tendencies. my other potential gay synopsis for this, which like we can talk about as we say like why this movie should have been gay, was to make Danny a lesbian. And then whole storyline of like them, him being like, oh shit, this girl's here, is like, I'm not out to all my friends. And this girl I'm madly in love with came to my high school. So like, I have to pretend I don't even know her. And Sandy's
that's
like,
cool, baby. That's cool. Yeah.
And Sandy's like, but we were in love, Danielle. And Danielle's like, I don't know you, but meet me behind the bleachers later.
I mean, there are a whole lot of things about Danny Zuko that just scream gay culture to me. Danny Zuko is for the gays, is all. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we'll get into it when we say which character should have been gay.
Yes, yes.
But yes, I mean, I think it's also just the fact that freaking, that John Travolta, like, is quote unquote straight, but like, John Travolta, I'm just going to say that. John Travolta is John Travolta. John Travolta played Edna Turnblatt.
Yeah.
Like, John Travolta is camp, is queer,
camp.
Is...
And that's... But,
like
that's,
moving his hips, like, swinging...
It is so much. Yeah. It is so much.
Mm-hmm.
Him in this movie is, like, just... It's a lot.
Just tilting the wrist, you know? Lots of wrists here.
Listen, he's got a comb, his hair. There's a lot of wrist action involved in that, Ellie, okay? Mm-hmm.
In love with his best friends, you know, like just like normal straight things.
Just sure. You know? Yeah, straight stuff.
So Lee, what was your experience with the film Grease?
Okay, my experience with Grease is I have watched Grease any number of times over the course of my life. I could not tell you when the last time I watched it was. Like, it literally could have been since college, the last time I've seen this movie, actually. And I have certainly not gone back and watched it with my
gay eyes,
you know, just my wiser, gayer eyes who have done over 100 should have been gays. And I was unprepared. Like, I fully went into this because I've seen the movie so many times. Right. And I went to rewatch it and I was like, OK, I'm so ready to like ship Sandy and Riz. And I'm like, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm going to be looking at the pink ladies. I am coming for you. And I left just being like, Danny Zuko, gay icon. And I... What an experience I had rewatching this movie. I enjoyed it tremendously.
I love that for you.
What about you, Ellie? What's your experience?
I mean, this is like baby Ellie, like
this feels formative, right?
So I wore out the soundtrack. Like, wore it out. When I was like 6, honestly, probably younger than that. As soon as I can remember seeing a movie, I saw Grease.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch it upstairs with my grandparents. I would watch it downstairs with my parents. Like, I would watch it with my sister. Like, we would sing and dance in my room to every single song from Grease. Formative. You're correct. I think I sang, like, Hopelessly Devoted to You, like, in karaoke when I was, like, six years old. Like, this is pinnacle of, like, young Ellie learning how to sing through Grease. So I love it. It has a very special place in my heart. Watching it again as an adult, I really am like, Olivia Newton-John, like, voice of a freaking angel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vocally?
She's great.
Flawless. Flawless. Love her. What else? Oh, on my most recent rewatch, actually, I was in New York for the weekend with Jana, and we were taking, like, a trip to New York because we just, like, need to get out of the house and, like, have a nice weekend. And Grease was on the TV like while we were getting ready, and I was like, sorry, we have to sit here and watch Grease before we go out.
Oh, like, God.
I just love it. And I know we're not talking about this, but Grease 1, formative. Grease 2, life-changing. Like, we're not talking about Grease 2
we'll
today.
We'll do a Grease 2 episode.
We will do a separate Grease 2 episode, but did you see that video of Angelina Jolie talking to Michelle Pfeiffer about how gay she, like, her gay experience watching Grease 2? So
amazing.
So Michelle Pfeiffer, like, dancing on the, like, on the ladder for Cool Rider. Angelina Jolie is like, I vividly remember that as a child. Like, I had the hugest crush on you in Grease 2.
Amazing. Are you gonna hate me if I bury the lead and say I'm not positive I've ever seen Grease 2? I might have. Well, I'm not sure I've ever watched Grease
2. I am gonna say the most controversial and not controversial
thing. Do it.
Grease 2 is better than Grease 1.
Okay. Listen, do you want me to like save you from this by bringing my controversy in?
Yes, please.
Okay. It's not so much that it's controversial. It's just you and I were chatting because, okay, we're doing Grease because it felt timely since Rise of the Pink Ladies is out now. And Rise of the Pink Ladies is, I think, a ton of fun. But like, it's not like the music is great, right? Mm. And here's my favorite thing about Rise of the Pink Ladies, actually, is I watched an episode and I was like, okay, it's okay. Yes. The music's fine. There's nothing like that has blown me away yet musically in it. But what I think is very funny is when you look up the reviews of Rise of the Pink Ladies, it gets panned. Like, people are trashing this show. And I don't think it has earned that. For a couple of reasons. One, a number of them obviously are just like, it's so woke. Stop injecting your politics into my good old time, right? And I'm like, no, get fucked. I don't care. You can give me the least, like, everyone's like, it's not real for, like, what the time was like. And I'm like, great. That was a shit time. Like, no one needs to relive the 50s actually as they happened. That's great. Make it better. Make it more progressive. I'm always going to be here for that. Like,
well, and also to play devil's advocate, quote unquote, or like, we're talking about should have been gay for Grease. It's the same way that, like, when people are like, oh, A League of Their Own, blah, blah, blah. Gay people exist in the 1950s.
Yes. But here's the thing. It's like, A League of Their Own, I think, is more realistic. And to be fair, Rise of the Pink Ladies, it's not. It's so blatantly, like, not realistic to how things were at the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't care.
Yes.
And the reason I don't care is the reason that I think there's no way that it deserves a 1-star review, even from the people who are just like, the music's terrible. And I'm like, the music in Rise of the Pink Ladies is not great. Absolutely. And at the same time, is a perfect homage to Grease, which, I'm sorry, but, like, this is a deeply unserious movie.
Like, it is camp, insane, it is silly. Yes,
it is over the top. These are not clever lyrical, like, masterpieces. These are cheesy songs that we all love because we grew up listening to them 8 million times.
And because they bop.
Yes.
That's literally all you need.
And also they bop despite being not good songs.
All right. But I will highly argue with you on not good songs. Hopelessly Devoted to You is one of the best songs.
Okay. I'm not going to say all of them. World. I'm not going to say all of them are bad.
Hopelessly Devoted to You and Worst Things I Could Do, Rizzo's song,
is great, but perfection. Also, but at the same time, this is a movie that contains Summer Lovin'. Summer Lovin' is a ridiculous song, right? Beauty School Dropout is classic. A ridiculous song. Yes, they are classics. That's the point.
But they're supposed to be ridiculous.
They're supposed to be ridiculous. This movie is bonkers. And so I just think there's something so funny about people coming after Rise of the Pink Ladies by being like, wow, these songs are, like, not even that great. And I'm like, what movie are you remembering in your mind, my man? Like, what movie are you re-envisioning as having contained just, like, nothing but amazing, like, I'm like, no, that's the point of why these songs are great. They're insane. They're insane. Like, a song that features just like Ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong. Like, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, no one's like,
That's the bar that you think Rise of the Pink Ladies can't beat. Bop,
shabop, boobop, bidoo-bidoo. Shibidi-bidi-bidi-bidi-bidi. And I love it.
That's the bar that you think this comes in so far below. It does not. It comes in right at the same place. And it's, all right, it's lower. Insane.
Lower.
Than some things. Some things, yes. Other
but
things.
Yes.
To me, honestly, it doesn't have the time. It doesn't have the benefit of time where people had no other movies and just played Grease endlessly. But like, I think to me, the thing that I think is the funniest about Rise of the Pink Ladies is I'm like, you'd think anyone who enjoyed Grease should really enjoy it. Because
I watched Rise of the Pink Ladies and loved it.
It's fun.
I thought it was great.
It's fun.
Like, oh, I agree. It encapsulated the like silliness, but also
yes.
like added in some more. I freaking love the wokeness. Give me the wokeness. Give me the. And when you really think about it, Grease itself. Rizzo's character is a feminist icon.
Yeah.
So, like, to act like there's no feminism in the original Grease is, like, what movie were you watching?
I mean, people are just upset because they're not all white anymore. That's all. Really. Let's
yes,
be real.
I know,
like,
let's, I know.
We don't need to beat around that bush too hard to find it's a bush full of racists. It always is. As per usual. I don't know. I just thought it was so funny that, like, I watched the show and I was like, oh, this music's kind of okay. Because my standards for music these days are higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
But not when you listen to Grease. I'm like, if I'm comparing it as like a, it's trying to mimic the style of Grease, I think they did great. I think they did great. Could the music be better? Yeah, probably. But honestly, like, yeah, that's to me, if you compare some of the stuff it's competing with, I'm like, it just, you know, if it had 50 years of people just playing it nonstop, I mean, we'd all love those songs. Like,
true.
Some of them are fun. Like, they could be a little catchy, you know?
I forget all of them, to be honest, but I know
I
that.
Just think it's so funny to, like, I was rewatching this and you know what it was that killed me, what moment it is the very first thing, that ending of Summer Nights, like just listening to John Travolta's little like nights, and I was like, I'm sorry, but like a deeply unserious movie right now. I cannot.
Well, it is a comedy, yes.
Yes,
it is not
exactly.
A serious film. It is not a drama.
Anyways, that's my yes. controversial take. Yes. My controversial take is like, we love Grease not because every song in there is amazing. The songs are amazing because we made them amazing in our minds. That's it. We just played them enough times. It's like when people are like, you can't make a new Christmas song because a Christmas song is by definition any song that a boomer associates with Christmas.
True.
You know, like it's not a Christmas song if your grandmother hasn't heard it for 50 years running. That's what it feels like to me, is like, of course you're going to say it's not Grease music because Grease has been out here standing the test of time.
True.
Even though, to be honest, some of these songs, they're just okay. Some of them are great. Not going to argue with you. Some of them are just fine. And that's...
I mean, that's also how every musical besides The Flame is.
Snuck that in real smooth.
Snuck
real
it
smooth
in, baby.
There. Even The Flame, some of them are just fun, silly songs, man. Like, that's
and
okay.
Some of them
that's
are the
allowed.
Hits. That's how it's got to be.
Exactly. I don't know. I just found it so funny. Like, I scrolled through so many pages of reviews of Rise of the Pink Ladies because I was just like, wow, people are like so upset about somehow not meeting the standard of a movie whose plot is nonsensical.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're literally, yeah. Okay. So let's dive into the plot.
Okay. Okay.
Grease.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. So plot in general, right, is summer loving, summer romance. We got
yeah.
Danny and Sandy fell in love over the summer. This is also why I'm like, this is so gay, right? Because Danny, they fall in love like immediately over the summer, right? And she also says like, oh, like he never even touched me. Like we just kissed and whatever. And you're like,
Danny Zuko, OG U-Haul lesbian.
Right? I'm like, Danny Zuko, like his summer version of himself also is so queer. Like
it's
he has
so
like,
gay.
He has like the sweater on, and then he like
yeah
he goes into his high school again and he's like, gotta be macho, gotta be a man, like can't be my gay boy self. Like, and he goes back in the closet. But it
I
is
know,
like,
and especially after spending summer, a whole he's summer. Out. Yeah. He's out. Where he's like, we're at the beach. We're just cuddling and holding hands and smiling and laughing together. It's not the end, Sandy. It's the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I know. Also, oh, God.
Sir. Danny,
it's so ridiculous. And then the first time that he sees her again, he's like, he's so like, oh, my God, Sandy. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, Sandy, girl. Oh, I don't care about you. And you're like, why are you the gayest? Like, just like it was like my gay came out. And then he's like, all right. Sorry, dudes. I'm super cool still.
Why you have to love Danny Zuko. Danny Zuko in this movie, he's a himbo. He's a herbo. He is the gay community. Mm-hmm. He is all of us.
Help. Desperately trying to fit in.
I just love desperately. It so much.
Desperately trying to be the cool guy.
He's just all of us with a comb in his hand. That's all. Okay?
I know, but he really is so effeminate. He is. And that's fine, Danny. That's fine. Honestly, embrace it. He's a great dancer. He wins a dance contest. Gay culture.
Yes.
He has like a million exes strewn across the universe.
Danny Zuko has dated every girl at Rydell High and the neighboring schools, but doesn't want to get serious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Won't commit to anyone because if he goes too serious. Do we think, I don't feel like he slept with any of them.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's like, not to be like
Danny Zuko, stone butch, discuss.
No, I'm like, Danny Zuko, you're a virgin who can't drive. No, it's more just like him and Rizzo have this history, right? And then she like immediately is like much more interested in his best friend. And super,
I mean, listen, Rizzo sus all on her own as well.
Rizzo so gay. Yeah, I feel like from like a past Ellie perspective, I'm like, I always was like, Rizzo's gay.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Like, but whatever. But dated Rizzo, and I feel like Rizzo, like, I just feel like they didn't sleep together from the way that they talk to each other.
That would make so much sense to me.
Where she's just like, she keeps trying to, like, get him. She's like, I want him to be attracted to me. Like, he never made me feel like he was attracted to me.
Well, and it also explains, because I did notice this one. I was noticing a lot of things that I've never really like spent much time on watching this movie again. When she climbs out the window at the sleepover, mm-hmm. and is like hitting on Kaneki.
Yeah.
And then Danny makes some comment about not wanting sloppy seconds when she mm-hmm. tries to like rub it in his face. And I was like, but wouldn't Kaneki?
But that's why yours? I feel
but
like.
But he doesn't say that. And I'm like, so is Kaneki not? And then if Kaneki slept with Rizzo, would you then be? Because he never slept with her.
That's what
checks
I'm
out. Checks out in my book.
Kaneki clearly had slept with Rizzo before. Then Rizzo was like, I want to be with Danny because Danny doesn't like makes me feel like he doesn't care because he's a big lesbian. And then she realized like it's a dead end with Danny. So she's like, all right, back to Kaneki.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, I don't know. There's clearly some weirdness between Rizzo and Danny Zuko. But for some reason, it like just feels like there's this like one-sided sexual energy. But yeah, that really gets me. And then Rizzo and Kaneki is just like, girl is just like, I am supposed to sleep with men.
Yes.
So like, let me go sleep with this man.
Yeah.
But I never felt like she's like into him.
Even the scene in the car with Kaneki, right? Where it's mm-hmm. like I feel like they're trying to present it as like, oh, he doesn't have a condom, and she's like, oh my god, whatever, like we'll have sex without a condom, like that's how desperately I need to have sex with Kaneki. But I'm like, they stop making out while he's getting that condom out, and she's just like, you know, cleaning up a little bit. She's like, let me just, okay, you're like slobbering all over me, I'm not that into it, I guess I'll have to wait here while you like get a condom out. And then he's like, oh no, it broke. And she's like, okay, well, I mean, whatever. Like, I came here to fuck a dude. I'm going to fuck a dude because, like, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly. Like, she's like, all the girls think I'm doing this. So, like, I right. got to follow through.
But, like, none of it reads as, like, you know, she doesn't say it in that way where she's like, I mean, I don't care. Like, get on top of me now. Like, no, she's just like, I mean, okay, whatever. Like, she's so not invested in that happening.
It's also just like the way she is, I think, as queer women, that I just, when I watch her, I'm like, you are not convincing with men.
No, and because think about it. So she doesn't actually hook up with Kaneki, does she? I mean, they get interrupted and they both look very clothed.
She gets pregnant, remember?
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Oh, she says it was a false alarm.
Yes, it was a false alarm. And so here's what I think. I think gay genius Rizzo is like, okay, I'm just going to go and like, fuck Kaneki. Oh no, somebody drove into his car. God, maybe I'll fuck that dude. He seems like the alpha manly man that people would buy that I'm straight for. So then she goes, you never see her sleep with him either, or even hear a whisper that she did. The only thing that creates that idea in your head is that she tells Kaneki that if she was pregnant, it's not his, right? It's like someone else's. So I think that she's like, I'll fuck this guy. That didn't work out. I'll fuck this guy. I'm obviously not going to fuck that guy. Okay, I'll just tell people I'm pregnant.
And then everyone will have to believe that I'm
sick. And then, yes, and then everyone will think that I had sex. But like, it was a false alarm, but everyone now believes that I have slept with a man.
I feel like the men in this are so dumb that like Kaneki would not even realize like,
that he didn't have
the
sex with her.
The activities that they did were not sex.
Yes.
That's so valid.
That is my new headcanon of this movie, is like Rizzo has created like a foolproof straight alibi. She's like, here's the ultimate beard, is I have slept with no men. I have created the impression that I did and made people believe a fake pregnancy scare. And now my heterosexuality alibi is airtight.
I love that for Rizzo. She's got a very, very hetero alibi, but who do we think she's in love with? For real.
Marty.
Yes. Obviously.
I mean,
not Frenchie.
I'm just saying.
No, I think her and Marty are a better match.
I think her and Marty are a better match. I can see some sparks flying with Sandy that we could talk about, but I don't know. There's a vibe with her and Marty, like, through this whole movie, man. She and Frenchie read as really good friends to me, right?
Because also, when you think of Marty, she has a million boyfriends, but she's never met any of them. She's like, I'm a really good pen pal. Like, that.
Yes.
If that is not the gayest thing ever, to be like, Rizzo's, like, fake having sex with men. Marty's fake dating men.
I have a boyfriend in Canada.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
I have a boyfriend in the military. Oh no, he died. I have to live with Rizzo for the rest of my life.
She's like, oh no, I have to be at a high school dance. I guess I'll hit on the aged TV host.
Yes. So disturbing.
Like, it's just, it is classic, like, go for the absolute
unavailable,
unattainable. No one's going to question the fact, like, oh, of course, well, of course I didn't, you know, oh, I didn't make out with anybody at the dance. Yeah, because, you know, I was making eyes.
Yeah, I was staring at this old man and he didn't make a move. So what was I supposed to do?
What was I supposed to do? I was wearing my hottest dress. I showed up with Rizzo. Didn't you see me?
Oh, my God. They would be a good couple.
I'm just saying.
They've got good chemistry. I also feel like that's why I'm saying it's like Rizzo and Marty and then Frenchie and Jan. Or Frenchie and Sandy. Frenchie and Sandy have some serious shit going on.
I could get into.
I think so. Jan was always like one of my favorite characters. She's just like, I feel like I just like identified the most with Jan, which is actually so funny when you look at it.
Yeah.
But because like I was very like goofy and silly when I was younger. I mean, I still am, but I like loved her like brusha, brusha, brusha. But I was like, this girl, I would want to be friends with her. I want to be like dancing with her. I want to eat all the ice cream with her. Like, she's hilarious to me. And I feel like she's the most out of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's just like barely cares about men. Like that one guy, they're like gay best friends.
Yes.
Who's the guy that she's with?
Duty.
Duty. His name is freaking Duty.
I cannot with the names in this movie, honestly. Again, on my list of things that are just deeply not serious about this movie. The names,
they are
up
the
there.
Most platonic. Also, they are just like
Tootsie. Like, come on. It's I cannot with this.
Oh my god.
This is why every time your grandparents try to talk about their friends, you're just like, I can't have a conversation with you right now because you're sad that Duty died and his name is Duty. Like, I can't,
my god.
I don't know how to do this.
I sang in a nursing home today and this woman was like, so my name's Ellen, but people call me Terry. They used to call me Elle, but, you know, I really just wanted to make my own nickname. So I said, everyone call me Terry. And ever since then, I've been Terry, but my full name is, and I'm literally like, what are you talking? Like, she just went into like this like 15 minute rant about what her name was. And I was like, okay, so should I, like, do I call you Terry or Ellen? And she's like,
well, and because this is a generation of people who were like, oh yeah, this is my best friend Pookie and her sister Blitzy. And you're like, I cannot. I just, what is happening?
That's so true. I have another friend who's like, her aunts are like, Leany and like Weenie or something. Like,
yeah, no,
like,
it's, I can't. Okay, anyways, so yes, Frenchie and Sandy for me would be it. I could see Jan just being gay. Jan
so
is just
gay
to me. And Marty and Rizzo. Because you know what else? Okay, I'm going to say if anyone after listening to this is doing like a, you know what it's time for? Like a Grease rewatch.
Rewatch
Grease. And you tell me, because the thing that's funny is like, I was noticing at a certain point, like there is not actually that much dialogue between Rizzo and Marty, right?
Like they don't directly to each other, but there's a lot of eye contact.
There's a lot of interactions. They interact a lot and there's a lot of chemistry, but they don't talk directly to each other in a way that to me almost reads as like too obvious. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, as like, I am actively trying to not speak to you so like no one thinks we're together.
Yes, yes.
But
it's like
I'm
I can touch all my other girlfriends, but like not you. That would be, everyone would know. And so instead it just like reads too obviously as like you're trying so hard not to look like you're together that you're so clearly together. That's what their whole vibe
dynamic
to me
is in
this movie is like they're trying too hard.
trying
that's
way
all
too
I
hard
think.
To not
okay?
be gay together. That makes
you
sense.
Watch this and you tell me those two are not secretly hooking up every night. Lies.
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it. I always get so confused by like, so Sandy's like, I'm going back to Australia. And then she doesn't.
There's no plot, Ellie. There's
but
no logical plot.
Do we figure, like, is she staying with Frenchie? Like, it seems like she's like an exchange student staying with Frenchie's family.
I could not tell you the answer to that question. There is no answer. The answer does not exist. Okay. Because here's the other thing I love. You're going
to
look it up. Here's the other thing I love about Grease. This movie somehow, in the same way, okay, I'm sorry. Here's what I'm about to do. I think that Grease, let's dig into the queer layers of Grease. Grease defies expectation. It defies the boundaries of society and also physics.
because the car
in the same
end.
Way that Danny Zuko in this movie is both a lesbian and a gay man, this movie simultaneously takes place over a single month and also an entire school year, and you cannot convince me otherwise. Where is winter in this movie? When does the year pass? It never happens. This movie happens, 3 weeks take place, and then it's graduation. And I don't know how long it took Frenchie to do Sandy's hair, but it was not 8 months, okay? So nothing about the passing of time in this movie makes any sense whatsoever. And the idea that there is an answer as to why Sandy is going to Rydell High that somebody did not just make up and say is true, to me, seems far-fetched.
Okay, so the explanation is she's not staying with Frenchie. It says on this Wikipedia thing that her parents decided to stay. That's it.
Oh, because she invites him to tea. So she does mention her parents want to meet him.
Yeah, yeah. So whatever. I don't know why they decide to stay. Does not matter. Really does not matter for the plot.
Yeah, you know, just a last minute decision not to move back to Australia.
Yes.
Like, well, you do.
I'm confusing the plots of Grease and Grease 2, because Grease 2, Frenchie's housing Sandy's cousin. as an exchange student. And that's even more far-fetched. So ridiculous. And he has a British accent. So it's like very confusing. Like he's not Australian. Who knows? Who knows? The point is, the first...
Listen, Australians were all British once, just like we all were.
True. The first day of school, though, her and Frenchie are already friends. So...
Yeah, I know. Frenchie, also U-hauling, is like, here is a new girl. Do you want her in our gang?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's put her in the gang. I think she could fit in with us. And I'm like, this is gays clocking each other is what's happening right now. This is gay magnetism. Grease is nothing but gay magnetism with a soundtrack, okay?
Yes. Also, I know we're not talking about Rise of the Pink Ladies, but I like love the fact that there is a TV show about the starting of this girl gang, because like the Pink Ladies as a girl gang is like gay culture.
Yeah.
Just the fact that it's like, that's why I'm like the T-Birds and the Pink Ladies, right? They're like, we only hang out with women. And the T-Birds are like, we only hang out with men. And like, we like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like so like specifically stratified by gender to the point where you're like, why do you really love hanging out with all these women so much? Why did you decide like, oh, hey, we have, like, it's the same way that like Mean Girls is gay.
Yes.
Where it's like, Regina, you really want to surround yourself with all these women? And Frenchie's like, more gay girls, let's party. Come to a sleepover as initiation.
Oh my God. Come to a sleepover. I just want to like pierce your ears and like do your makeup. And yeah, it's
so gay. And I feel like Rizzo is like the like head lesbian in charge who's like testing Sandy out. And she's like, is this... Like, her entire song, like, Look at Me, I'm Sandrity, she's, like, Sandy's so, like, I'm a girl and I'm heteronormative. And, like, she hates that about her.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
She's like, I'm exactly what society expects me to be. How stupid.
Like, literally, the whole song is her being like, look, I'm a girl. And, like Rizzo's in drag.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is what a... quote-unquote straight woman is like, because it's not me. Yeah,
just absolutely ridiculous.
So ridiculous. And then they're like, it's just like the epitome of like what straight men talk about, of like what do girls do at sleepovers. They're like hitting each other with pillows and like
and once again Rizzo is like, I can't sleep over and sleep next to Marty all night and like keep my hands to myself. So I'm going to like sneak out and go out with the boys. I'm so straight. Look at how straight I am. Oh my God.
That's so
trying
true.
Only a little too hard.
Only a lesbian would try to escape that sleepover. Because she's like,
she's like, shit,
I can't be here. They'll know.
They'll know. They'll
it's way
know.
Too small of a space. Way too small. And yeah, there's like definitely like a tension between Rizzo and Sandy.
There is. Sandy in general. Sandy is so much in this movie.
Just like the stereotype of who Sandy is.
Just all of them. Because look, again, there's just something so funny to me about a movie where like the central romance of it somehow ends with like, we've both tried so hard to be the opposite of ourselves for the other one that we've like both switched, and it's just very silly. I don't know, there's just something about it that's so funny that like Sandy spends this whole movie, which again ostensibly is a full year of time, dating Danny, where he's like, I'm taking you to a dance. I'm joining the track team for you. I'm doing this. I'm taking you to the drive-in. Will you wear my ring, Sandy? And just tripping over himself to U-Haul with her. And then at the end, she's like, he drove a car and I must now change everything about myself to be happy. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening right now.
I mean, I don't know if it's to be happy. I think it's to satisfy the moviegoers to be able to see Olivia Newton-John in that outfit.
I mean, and we were. We all were. And we all always will be.
That's the, you know, the whole ending scene is so, like, not, like, it feels so separate.
It makes no sense.
From the rest of the film.
Zero sense.
Right? You're like, she's like, I'm gonna be a bad girl now. And then she is, and now they fly away in a car. Like,
it's just, where did she learn to smoke? How long have you been practicing, Sandy? There's just so many unanswered questions, you know? It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot.
It's a whole lot.
Okay, wait. I feel like, we can keep talking about Sandy. I just want to make sure that we have enough time to do a deep lyrical analysis of There Are Worse Things I Could Do. So you tell me if, because I can keep talking about Sandy a bit too. Yeah.
I mean, let's finish with Sandy and then we'll do Worst Things I Can Do. So number one, Sandy, also a virgin, like same thing, like baby gay, who's like the first woman I ever fell in love with. Like I need to make it work with this person, even though like we're clearly things are not working out here and I'm going to force myself to be whatever this person wants me to be. Not right.
And in the meantime, I will date the dumbest brick at school. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds about right.
I will date the most obvious man also. Yes. And then too, like, I just feel like girls in love with Frenchie. That's it. Those are my Sandy points. I don't have anything else on Sandy.
I also just feel like Sandy and Danny together, they're just still very gay to me. It's a gay relationship.
Yes, because like they're both like badly in love with each other and also like so not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're obsessed with each other, but they're obsessed with like the idea of each other.
And it also gives very similar vibes to like every story where one person is like, you know, like, sorry, did you see the last round of no context spoiler images that CB did on our Twitter?
No.
So they made an image where it just says like it all leads back to Step Roll, and I was like, gonna make this my new personality, so
and
here we go.
Leading back to Step Roll.
So I'm gonna find a way to work Sterling and April or Teenage Bounty Hunters in some way into like every episode this season. Try me. Okay, so I just think anytime that you have a relationship like Sterling and April where someone is like, we should come out, like I'm not ready to come out, that just, this is the blueprint, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I know who you are. You're a U-Haul lesbian. And Danny's like, no, I'm a cool dude. Look at my comb. Look at my cool dude comb. Here I am combing
my
dude
jacket.
Hair.
I have a leather jacket.
I have
I
a jacket
cool.
And tight pants, and I dance really well, and I'm just a big man dude, okay? And then she's like, no, you're not. You want to process your feelings and you want to be a lesbian with me. And he's like, yeah, I do.
Yep.
That's all.
It's valid.
It's just gay. I'm just saying that same feeling of like, you can be the real you at school and like, no, I can't. That's a gay story.
It's so, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it is Danny's coming out story.
It is.
He's like hiding this whole relationship and yeah. Also, what do we think of Stranded at the Drive-In? Gay song?
Okay. Do you know what moment? Okay. I know I already made fun of John Travolta's Nights. Do you know what other moment? I cannot. I want to screenshot it and like just frame it and put it on my wall because I think it is the best single. No. No. I mean, that's also great. But it is a single, what I think is the best frame, like single shot of the movie Grease. And it is Danny Zuko kind of half, he's in this like half bent over slouch pointing at the sky going, in heaven forever. And I just, there is something about that one scene of that movie that I just think is perfect. Can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. You can never, could never improve on that one single frame of this movie. I don't know why it kills me so much, but it kills me. But no, he's like so emotionally over the top. He's like, she left me at the drive-in. I'm going to wander Sandy. Lost and sing about it. And I just live for it.
I eat that shit up.
Yeah.
Eat it up. Yeah. But let's, okay, as we're talking about songs, let us dive in to the gayest song in our film. Worst things
okay.
I could do.
Here's what I want to do. I think there's something really, really important about the song There Are Worse Things I Could Do from a queer perspective. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's take Rizzo, a gay character. She's in love with Marty. She's trying way too hard to find an airtight alibi mm-hmm. for being the straightest girl at school, right? And then she sings this song. And I just want to pick out like a couple lyrics.
Hit me.
Okay. So there are worse things I could do than go with a boy or two. I suppose it could be true, but there are worse things I could do. I could flirt with all the guys, press against them when we dance, make them think we stand a chance, then refuse to see it through. That's a thing I'd never do. She says,
"Oh, so you're saying
protesting
sarcastically?" She's like, "Actually, I do tease all the men because I do not want to be with them."
Okay. And then, I could stay home every night, wait around for Mr. Right, and throw my life away on a dream that won't come true. Okay, so this is her whole song so far is basically just her singing like, I mean, listen, there are worse things I could do. Like, I could date boys. I could be interested in guys. I could sleep with
men.
Yeah,
that would suck.
I could be spending my life waiting around for Mr. Right, right?
But I'm screwing Marty under the bleachers instead.
And then ends this song as and like the final verse of this song ends on, I could hurt someone like me.
Sandy
or Marty. I mean, or Sandy or like any of the other gays. Right. Like,
yeah.
And she's like, I don't steal and I don't lie, but I can feel and I can cry. I mean, I'm just saying, like, there is, I feel like there, this song is an onion, and the more you unpack it, the gayer it gets. Like, I just feel like she's singing a whole song being like, listen, there's worse things than being gay. I could be straight, for one thing.
True.
I could do all of the stuff that everyone thinks of me, right? I could hurt the other gays that are out there just like me. But instead, I'm just hurting myself. That's the song. That's paraphrasing the song.
That makes it such a depressing gay song, but it's so, feels so right. You know what's
great? Doesn't it?
What I was going to say at the beginning of this is like, I feel like when I was young and I obviously was not straight.
Unafraid. Sorry. It was right there.
You know what I mean? But when I was young and quote unquote thought I was straight, I was like.
And dreams were made and used. And
yes.
Used. Okay.
I was like, I want to sing all of Sandy's songs and like, I want to be Sandy. And then you
because she's a misunderstood gay icon.
Then you turn into old gay bitch and you're like, wait, I want to be Rizzo. The second you come out, you're like, I'm Rizzo.
Yeah.
Because Rizzo is gay.
Because Rizzo is gay.
Rizzo is like this like fucking hardened old gay.
Which, listen, yeah. Can I tell you the other thing that cracked me up when I rewatched this movie is I immediately had to Google how old everyone in the cast was.
They were recorded. What, like 30?
So Stalker Channing was 33 years old when they filmed this movie.
I'm like, this is not like these. I'm like, I know, like, I'm like, sometimes they have like 25-year-olds and you're like, yeah. No, these are like adults. Like,
they're just full on. They're full adults. Yeah. Danny Zuko, the John Travolta, was one of the youngest when they filmed this. He was 23.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stalker Channing just wild. Looks...
So yeah, Stalker Channing is like a chain-smoking ancient queer elder.
Ancient.
Who's been through some shit, and, you know, she's just, listen, she's hurting, she just wants to come out with her girlfriend and, like, be able to live their lives. But instead, she has to pretend to have sex with every boy in school and fake a pregnancy, and it's just, it's a hard life out there in the 50s, you know?
It is a hard life for gay-ass Rizzo. I know.
Tough times.
Before we wrap up, I do really want to talk about the T-Birds.
Okay, let's do
it. Just in general. Okay, so first of all, the T-Birds are like overly hyper masculine, right? They're like, they're hyper masculine.
Would we describe many of those men as hyper masculine?
Okay, sorry.
I think you're thinking Kanicki.
They're trying to be.
Yeah.
Like, or like hypersexual. Let me say that. Like, right? Like, Grease Lightning is all about like, we are gonna nail girls, yeah. You know what I mean? We're gonna get chicks in the back of the car and like the girls are gonna cream. You know what's funny? I watched this movie on TV and they bleeped it out. It was the chicks are gonna bleep.
That's so funny.
For Grease Lightning.
That's so funny.
They did not
funny.
Say the word cream and that cracked
that
me up.
That feels like a hate crime.
That cracked me up. But like, right, like it's like Summer Lovin', they're all like, yeah, like, man, tell me about what you did to her. You know, I want to hear about all the crazy sex you had. And like,
well, okay,
it makes them more gay because they're like, Danny, tell me what you did with your body, Danny. I want to hear it.
Again, very funny to me when the heteros are upseteros about a show like Rise of the Pink Ladies. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Is this, once again, you're like, oh, we don't want all this woke politics garbage. Like, we just want, like, our men to be men and our women to be women. And I'm like, your men were prancing around in little silver jumpsuits, okay? In, like, the gayest thing I've ever seen.
Yes. Grease Lightning, is the gayest sequence you could ever see in your life.
Is so gay.
Yes.
Is so gay.
Yes. They're, like, matching jumpsuits. Fellas.
Yes. They're just like, let's get our jumpsuits on and like and do our hair. I mean, it's very gay. It's a gay
so
scene.
Gay.
Okay.
Do you remember there was a TV
just
show?
Just thrusting at each other with abandon. It's not straight,
no.
Fellas.
There was a TV
not.
Show called You're the One That I Want, like the search for it was like Danny and remember there was like the search
yeah.
for Danny
yeah,
and
yeah.
Sandy? And I remember, like, some of the comments that people would say is, like, to the Dannys, like, we just really want you to be, like, more masculine, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is a man in a musical. What do you mean Danny Zuko is, like, the height of, like, cool and masculine? He never has been.
These men are doing full choreography,
that was
okay?
never his it's... character.
No.
He is a gay little boy hanging with his gay friends. Dancing.
I'm sorry. Are we talking about masculine, manly man Danny Zuko? I believe 50% of his lines in this movie consist of just John Travolta smiling and going, that's it. That's it. That's the character.
That sounds right. Specifically, I feel like Danny and Kanicki clearly got their own shit going on together.
Dude, Danny and Kanicki almost make out, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Like, that scene when they hug, when he asks him to be his second.
Oh, it's a lot.
And then they like, make pointed eye contact with their faces, like, mere inches apart. Like, they're breathing each other's air, and they're, like, a little too into it. And then they're like, the guys are here.
Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, fuck, we forgot people were here. And then the two, like, silly ones are also together. There's three silly ones.
Duty and Putzy and Sunny.
Yeah. Sunny, oh my god. They're all together.
Sunny, who surprisingly was not the oldest person in the cast when they filmed this, although...
Looks quite old.
Looks like a full, like, this is your dad. Like, if you gave him a newspaper and a pair of, you know, slippers. That is your dad.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Also, the headmaster and her sidekick.
Yes.
They are clearly in, like, a sub-dom relationship.
Yeah. Like, stop. Valid.
Stop playing. They're in love. Also, they live together and they work together. But they haven't told anyone at school. So they're trying to, like, keep it. Same thing as Marty and Rizzo. Where they're like,
I have to be as mean
to you as possible so no one knows. Those. In the, what about Cha-Cha Di Gregorio?
Here's what I feel like. Cha-Cha is the only person Danny had come out to before then.
So true. When Sandy's like, how do you know her? He's like, friend of the family.
Yeah.
And she's like,
and he's like, I don't want to get too close. I don't want to have a conversation with you. But like, also, we clearly have danced together like a number of times. Like, she knows things. She knows shit about Danny, right?
Yep.
Which also, I'm sorry, just to touch on that same Danny point of like, we need you to be a little bit more masculine of a man. Danny Zuko, the man who famously is like incapable of not dancing in a dance competition when his date gets like carried off in another man's arms in front of his eyes. And he's like, but the music is still playing. I have to chasse over here.
Must continue the dance.
He's like, well, I can't stop. They put a new girl in front of me. So this is good. We're just going to drive over this way. He's like, I can't. I mean, I physically cannot stop myself from dancing to the music. It moves me. That straight man. That's what we're talking about.
Okay. So true. Danny's a dance major in college.
He's like, oh, sorry, bye, Sandy. Kickball change. Okay, like, yeah, it's just
so true.
It's a little much. It's a little much, is all I'm saying. If that is the peak masculinity we're aiming for, you might like your men a little gay, is all.
Danny Zuko gay.
Danny Zuko gay. Danny Zuko trying to swing a baseball bat. Gay.
Gay.
Danny Zuko wrestling. Gay.
Gay. Oh, the wrestling. I forgot about that. That was gay.
Danny Zuko playing basketball. Gay. That is a gay man.
So true. Danny Zuko trying to kiss Sandy and then like slapping her in the face. Gay.
This is what I'm saying. He somehow covers both ends of the gay spectrum, right? He is all gays. He is all of us. We are all represented in one Danny Zuko.
Danny Zuko on a swing. Gay. Danny Zuko on a sex swing. Gay.
Oh, good Lord.
Damn you, Danny. Anything else? Anything else gay about this film before we wrap
her
up?
It's a deeply gay film.
It is deeply gay. I can't wait until we do Grease 2 because that's on another level.
I'm excited. Okay, who are we shipping, Ellie?
So many ships. Top ship, I think, is going to be Rizzo and Marty, and we will call them Marzo.
Mizzo, Marzo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Marzo.
What about
I'm
you?
I'm into it. Well, I mean, I feel like I have to say Frenchie and Sandy. Frandy.
Frandy's a great ship name.
Frandy's a great ship name. I also want to ship Sandy and Danny together, but like in a gay way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Danny is a lesbian and the whole scenario is that he needs to come out.
I have an answer to this dilemma. Yep. Their ship name is Dandy, which feels gay to me as it is.
Quite gay. Quite,
quite gay.
Gay.
Super gay.
Also, Danny and Kaneki. Dicky. Mm. That's it.
That one really did it for mm-hmm. me. There it is. So can we just say Grease?
Should have been gay.
Should have been gay.
So gay. All right, ready for our Q and gay?
I am so ready. Hit me.
Q. Q. And. Gay.
Question number one. Who's the gayest pink lady? A, Sandy. B, Rizzo. C, Marty. Or D, Frenchie?
I mean, I gotta go with my girl Rizzo.
Riz.
She sang us a whole song about it, so.
I really, you need, I know you can't. I know you can't, but you could. You really need to write a gay version of that song and have me sing it.
Okay, I'll work on it. I'll add it to my list, my backlog.
I just want to sing it.
Question two, Ellie. Who's the gayest T-Bird out of A, Danny, B, Kaneki, C, Duty, or D, Putzy?
It's Danny. That man
There's one right
gay.
Answer here.
So gay.
It is gay icon Danny Zuko.
Gay icon Danny Zuko. Ah, the track shorts. Gay. Question number three, where would we find you at Rydell High? A, shop class, B, the bleachers, C, the track, or D, the principal's office?
Tough call. You know, I feel like I have to say the track, I guess.
Sports gay?
I mean, I did get a lot of varsity letters in cross country and track, which, to be clear, is more because very few people at my school wanted to run than because I am a fantastic runner. But I did leave high school with 7 varsity letters between cross country and track. So
nice brag.
I feel like I would be lying if I said anything else.
I wouldn't be any of those things. Maybe the bleachers, but not really.
I mean, I was trying to stay, you know, in the spirit
stay
of
right
it.
Up, yeah.
We know where we would find you, Ellie. They had a stage somewhere at Rydell. Yeah. We know.
Rydell High. Beat the Cavaliers. I would.
Question four, Ellie. What's the worst thing you could do out of A, go with a boy or two, B, flirt with all the guys, C, stay home every night, or D, hurt someone like me?
Oh, is this question like, what's the worst thing like that would kill me personally?
You can interpret this question
however you'd like.
Because
I feel like for me, the worst thing I could do is stay home every night. I can't do it. I have not done it for 372 days straight.
There you go.
So I can't stay home every night. All right, question number five. Which is the gayest Danny Zuko moment? A, summer nights. Baseball? B, baseball. C, dance contest. Or, oh, Sandy.
God, they're all so gay. It was so hard to make this list because there were so many moments I wanted to choose from. I'm going to go with, oh, Sandy.
That moment is so weird and cool.
That is a gay simp for Sandy, Danny Zuko is. So,
love it. What an episode. What a gay ass musical.
What a gay movie.
Remember, you can also give us your own answers to our Q&A questions on our Twitter.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you, and we love continuing to build this community. So we just want to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to shout out Jennifer, who reached out to us on Instagram to say that our podcast has been their favorite thing for the last few weeks. And listen, that's just... I love new people finding the show is all. It just makes me happy.
Thanks, Jennifer.
I know. We're not going anywhere, Jennifer, so, you know. Don't catch up, and we're gonna have some good times. We're gonna have some good times, all of us. That's all.
As always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons: Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Edie Benitez,
Fiona W,
and Sophia Phillips,
and our King Princess patrons: Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much. We could not continue to make the show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison and Twitter shenanigans by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support the podcast, the first thing you can do is leave us a rating and a review on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. A, we like reading the reviews, and B, it helps new people find the show.
If you want to support us on Patreon and join our exclusive community where you get free bonus episodes every month and access to our Patreon-only Discord chat, you can join at bit.ly/lespatreon at any level to get access to all of our perks.
If you want to buy some Les Hangout merch, there is no better time to gear up for Pride than right now, especially because today is the last day of a sale at our TeePublic. So you can get all of our designs on sale through today. And we have another one coming up later in the month if you miss this one. So keep an eye out. We'll be posting about them on our socials. You can find all of our designs on all sorts of things like t-shirts and tank tops and tote bags. And you can find those at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings. You can find everywhere at dollarbeanprod.
You can also check out our website at dollarbeanproductions.com.
And you can listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
If you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon specifically for those projects. We are well into our next show, Journey to the Heart, the recording sessions for that. So every little bit helps get us on our way. You can join at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang.